the top of page 46. From Avon, to the bottom of page 43 to the top of page 46.
Evam,
evam,
pinda brahmanda yoraikyam,
pinda brahmanda yoraikyam,
sambhutam,
sambhutam,
stula sharira abhimani,
stula sharira abhimani,
jivanamakam,
jivanamakam,
brahma pratibhimbam,
Brahma pratibhimbam
bhavati
bhavati
sa eva jivah
sa eva jivah
prakritya
prakritya
swasmadishvaram
swasmadishvaram
bhinnata
bhinnatvena
janati
janati
Avidyopadhihi
Sannatma
Jiva
Jiva
Ityuchyate Mayopadhihi
Mayopadhihi
Sannatmeshvara
Sannatmeshvara
Ityuchyate
Evamupadhi
Veda Jiveshvara
Veda Jiveshvara
Veda Drishtihi
Veda Drishtihi
Yavat Paryantam
Yavat Paryantam
Yavat Paryantam
Tishthati
Tishthati
Davat Paryantam
Tavat Paryantam
Janma Maranadihi
Janma Maranadihi
Urupa.
Oh, excuse me. Janma Maranadi
Janma Maranadi
Rupa Samsaraha
Rupa Samsaraha
Na Nivartate
Na Nivartate
Just this one line here at the top. Tasmat.
Tasmat karanat.
Tasmat karanat.
Na jiveshvarayoho.
Na jiveshvarayoho.
Bheda buddhihi.
Bheda buddhihi.
Svikarya.
Svikarya.
Om Sahana
Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti
So we're going till 10 after. It's the primo time for the mind to be alert. It's 40 minutes. Really, honestly. After 40 minutes, we should all take some kind of a little break or do some little different thing to give your mind a break for a moment and then go on this. They're doing studies on it. So anyway. So we left off with Avam. Pinda Brahmananda Yoho Aikyam Sambhutam. Means that in this manner, having told how the creation, how the Maya Upadhi actually, that has Brahmashriya, has Brahman as its Adhishtana, how that Maya comes into manifestation, the whole process of it, all the way to the Stula Sharira. So the main thing, important thing to understand here is they're talking about the entire creation coming into the entire Maya, Mithya, creation, coming into manifestation. And that process will include the jivas. And so as we go through that process, we see how the sattva, rajas, and tamas elements will go into different forms of modification and coming together to form, to sense the sukshma sharira and then the stula sharira. So that means that this body, mind, sense organs is part and parcel of this creation, subtle and gross, Hiranyagarbha and Vimala, the subtle total and the physical total. So Hiranyagarbha and Virat includes the jiva and is in either Hiranyagarbha, the total sukshma sharira, samashti sukshma sharira, or Virat, the samashti stula sharira, completely include and are made of the same materials as this jiva. So this jiva comes out of the creation. It's part and parcel of the creation. So here, on page top of page 44, it says, it's going to define these Brahma Ishwara now. I mean the jiva and Ishwara. What it says is, first, so repeat after me, stula sharira abhimani,
stula sharira abhimani,
jivanamakam,
jivanamakam,
Brahma pratibimbam,
Brahma pratibimbam,
bhavati,
bhavati,
sa eva jivaha prakritya,
sa eva jivaha prakritya,
yeah, prakritya,
prakritya,
swasmat ishwaram,
swasmat ishwaram,
bhinna tvena janati. So here, going compound by compound, stula sharira abhimani. The abhimani is that identification. On here, it'll be the one who has an identification with the stula sharira. So the stula sharira abhimani, jiva, not these are the neuters. Jiva Namakam, which is called the jiva. So the one who has an identification with the stula sharira, which we call the jiva, which is named the jiva, Jiva Namakam, Brahma Pratibimbam Bhavati. That stula sharira abhimani is just, doesn't say just, but is a pratibimba, a Brahma Pratibimba. It is a reflection of Brahman. Right? Because this body, mind, sense organs enjoys consciousness because of the sense of touch running through the whole body, you know, and because of the sattva of the mind of the antakarana and the sense organs. This body enjoys consciousness, but in fact it is not consciousness. It's mithya. And so the use of this pratibimba, the word pratibimba, which literally means a reflection. So the bimba is the object, the pratibimba is the reflection. So if I hold up a mirror to my face, I am the bimba. Right? This is the pratibimba. This pratibimba actually, and illustrations are problematic because there's a separation between the reflection of my face and my face. Or even when we use the sun shining in the water bucket, though that sun is a pratibimba of the sun. As though, what we're really saying, though, is because Swamiji doesn't like to use this word pratibimba because it will run into kind of misconceptions and problems. So what we really mean by the use of the word pratibimba is when we think of the whole creation as maya, if it is maya, ya ma iti maya, it is mithya. If it is mithya, it has no separation whatsoever from satchit, from conscious being. Whether that be the lamp or a living creature, you know, like a lamp, the floor, we don't think of them as reflecting consciousness, right? And yet, their relationship of this nama, these nama rupas, the relationship of absolutely everything in the creation to consciousness is exactly the same, in the sense that the nama rupa has no being whatsoever apart from consciousness. That's what we mean here with consciousness being satyam, and the nama rupas being mithya. So it doesn't really matter, you know, whether the object of consciousness or that which is mithya reflects consciousness, pratibimba, or it doesn't. They're both just mithya and they're both nothing but consciousness in reality, right? But here we have this interesting differentiation with the creation, in terms of the creation, with those things that reflect consciousness and those that don't reflect consciousness, which gives me a beautiful, wonderful opportunity for ignorance to play its magic, right? Because I'm a conscious being, and you are not. So there's unconscious space between us, you know, like I said, you are a conscious being and I'm a conscious being, but obviously we're different because we're differentiated by those things that don't enjoy consciousness. And so this allows for a very well ingrained ajnanam in terms of how we interpret our experience, right? And so that's why here, what he says, he uses a word here. So it says, the abhimani stula sharira jivanamakam brahma pratibimam bhavati is just a reflection of consciousness, what we call the jiva, which is identifying with the physical body, with the stula sharira, is in fact a brahma pratibimam. It's just a reflection of Brahman. Saha eva jivaha prakritya. That alone is the jiva. Prakritya swasmat ishwaram binnatvena janati. That is a reflection of Brahman. Like if I hold a mirror up, it's a reflection of me. So if I hold this whole creation up, the ones that have the sukshma sharira, they as though reflect or are able by the nature of the upadi to enjoy that self, of that sense of consciousness because of the sattva. So they reflect Brahman. And so, therefore, that very jiva, saha eva jivaha, prakritya swasmat ishwaraha, ishwaram binnatvena janati. Therefore, that jiva, prakritya means naturally, just by its very nature, by the whole situation of its coming into manifestation, it janati, it knows, buddhi, mityajnanam, it knows without any doubt, I am different from Ishwara. It understands, janati, this difference, that Ishwara enjoys separateness, binatvena, from myself, swasmat, from me, right? Ishwara, from me, this Ishwara is different. This differentiation is clearly understood. Naturally means really, as long as you are a jiva, if you go back to beginningless time, this would be the natural conclusion that you would make without a means of knowledge. Because who is making the conclusion? The mithya mind, the mithya buddhi. That mithya buddhi reflects, pratibimba, reflects myself. It seems to enjoy consciousness, but being mithya, it is not like the water bucket reflects the sun, because here the mithya mind has absolutely no differentiation or distance whatsoever from its adhishtana Brahman. You know, it's so, say if we use the sun and and reflection example, there's a flaw in it, right? And the flaw is that distance. And this, and that's where this reflection becomes problematic. But if you look at it, here's the sun up here, and here's the reflection of the sun down here, reflecting in the sattva water. So this is the water, is the sattva mind, and the reflection of the sun is in there, and so I am the pratibimba. And so naturally, I, the reflection, take myself to be the reality. That gives you the misunderstanding that my sense of me is a reflection, the reflection down here in the sun up here. There's space. And so then this jiva is just this reflection walking around. And so my sense of self then is different than the sense of self of the sun, even though it resonates with it. We like this idea that it resonates. But to think that a sattva vritti, a shanta vritti, you know, by its nature, enjoys me, enjoys the self in a way that is similar to myself, you know. But the problem with these drishtantas and the use of this pratibimba is that I'll take myself to be the pratibimba, the reflection, and then Brahman is the self. But I'm the pratibimba, and Brahman is the self. And that is what is not true. That's why Swamiji decided this word Pratibimba and the word Chidabhasa, the reflection of consciousness, he just decided, I'm not using these words anymore because they cause so much trouble. Okay, so here is the word. You have to make sure. Okay, so this is the situation for us versus the sun and the reflection. My sense of self, this me, the me, right, does not belong to the mind. The mind doesn't have, nor does the universe, nor does the Ishwara Upadhi have any sense of me, of consciousness, of being. There is no second sense of me. Okay? Only one. And that is who I am. So now think of it, that's why we like the clay pot, you know, or the Swamiji's desk, you know, desk wood. That's much more true to the facts. So we have to hold both side by side, juxtapose them together to really understand. If you think of the clay pot, the pot's experience of itself, of the clay, is only the clay. So that's very real. It's not experiencing something else. Its self-experience is the self-experience. There's not a reflection that it experiences. And then there's the clay. So there's no reflection and clay. There is the pot namarupa, which from its own standpoint takes itself to be the clay, which means that clay looks like a pot. A pot is clay. So there's no viveka between this pot and the clay in terms of the differentiation between satyam mitya, where the mitya is totally the satyam, and the satyam is totally free of the mitya. Right? So the pot is totally clay, that is true, and so it takes itself to be clay, that is perfect. That's not where the ajnanam is. The ajnanam is in the identification of the pot with the clay, as though to say that as long as the pot is there, the clay is. When the pot dies, the clay dies. You know, when the pot gets upset, the clay gets upset. I'm making it silly, but nevertheless, the point is that differentiation is not there. But the pot, if it has ajnanam, why should it not take itself to be the clay when it is clay? And yet, there is a mistake there, right? There's a mistake. And that mistake is, we call pratibimba, because of the mitya, the pot actually believes that itself, the mitya pot, is the clay. But it's not. It isn't the clay. There is only clay. That's the difference. It's a huge difference. I am the clay and I am subject to being broken and somebody could take me and somebody could pour water into me and all of these things. That is my reality. And so we have to go a step further. No, it's not quite like that. The clay is yourself, but that clay is free of you, completely independent. So here in this situation, when I call myself a jiva, the instant you say you're a jiva, what is happening there is that there is an abhimana. There is an identification with me being this body. Okay? But this body is mithya. So the mithya body is able, because of the sattva, because it has a mind and sense organs, all which are upadis, it is capable of saying, I am this. I am the conscious being. It's capable of saying that. Where this, the lamp, doesn't have a subtle body. It doesn't have a sukshma sharira. It doesn't have sense organs. It doesn't have a mind that is capable of making that mistake. And so what is happening is the mitya is taking itself to be me. And in that sense, it is a reflection of me. Because, in fact, the only thing that is there is me. Like the only thing that is there in the clay pot is the clay. The mitya has no being, but it takes itself to have being of its own, right? In this form. That's the pratibimba. That word is used to show that there's a different, the mithya has a different idea of me. It defines me differently because of its nama rupa than what I am. Because I, in fact, am itself, but I am also completely free of the mind-body-sense organs. And, in fact, Ishwara, if Ishwara had ajnanam, which he doesn't, there's no ajnanam for Ishwara, just like there's no ajnanam for you when you imagine the ocean scene, you know perfectly well what it is. You don't even have to say it. It's very, very clear. This is an imagination. It's mithya. It's fantastic. Incredible maya. It's the incredible wonder of maya that you can have this imagination and have yourself walking along the ocean shore. That is absolutely magical. It's wonderful. It's what we call maya. And it has no independent being away from me, you know. And so it's enjoined the sat-chit, which is myself, and I can project it and withdraw it, and nothing happens to me. That knowledge, I can tell you, this is what you know, and you just will say, yeah, why are you telling me? You don't have to be told. I don't have to tell you, you know, that your imagination is your imagination. It comes from you, sustained by you, resolves back into you. You know, that you can withdraw it at any time, that nothing is happening to your being, you know, at all. But you're the Ishwara of that imagination. There is no ajnanam. However, when you withdraw your, as I pointed out in the meditation, when you withdraw yourself back, there's a problem. Because you draw yourself back into the same Atma, which is this body. Same Atma, that's the same self. So the dream and all of this is really important. So here, naturally, from the standpoint of the jiva, this mistaken identity is going to be there, because why shouldn't it be? What would allow it to see that differentiation when, from its standpoint, it is completely correct? And it is completely correct that the self is the self which we are talking about. It is the self which is Brahman, which the whole Upanishads are revealing. But what it has to understand, you know, is because it knows it is the self. It knows very clearly that it is the self. And you're trying to tell it that it is not. You're trying to tell it that there is a limitless self that is the self in all beings. And I'm saying, that is not true. This is me. This is myself. This is my body. These are my sense organs. I am a conscious being, obviously different from you and obviously different from Ishwara. And I don't want to give myself up because it is the sat-chit anand, but it is the most dear. You know? And so that's kind of the immediate freak out often when you hear Vedanta. Well, that's what he says in this language. The jiva knows, you know, that he knows clearly that Ishwara is different from me. It is very clear, you know. So that conviction that buddhi has, that mithya jnanam conviction. Okay, then we go. So now he has to explain this. So, avidyopadihi.
Avidyopadihi.
Sannatma.
Sannatma.
Jivaha.
Jivaha.
Ityuchyate.
Ityuchyate.
So if I break the Sunday. Sandhi, avidya,
avidya,
upadhihi,
upadhihi,
san,
san,
atma,
atma,
jivaha,
jivaha,
iti uchyate,
iti uchyate.
There's the doubling of that nakara is the letter na there is a sandhi rule. They can teach you. They means the Sanskrit teachers. Sanyasharja, Christine. Where was teaching? Okay. So, avidya, upadhihi, sin, atma. Atma, the atma, being one, who this is a bahuvrihi, avidya, upadhihi, being one for whom there is this conditioning adjunct of avidya. Avidya, ignorance, right? Avidya, upadhi, the conditioning adjunct. So, the jiva, the atma, having this, being one who has this now conditioning adjunct, is called the jiva. Or you could say like this, the Atma being one who has, when the Atma is conditioned by avidya, by ignorance, that Atma, that self, which is Brahman, which is the self in all beings, which is me, that Atma, then in that case the Atma is called the Jiva. Because of the Ajnanam there, I experience myself as me, but the Ajnanam is there not for the Atma, but for the mind. That mind suffers from that Ajnanam, which means that I experience myself, my mind, my buddhi, my body, because of the sense of touch, I experience myself, but I don't know myself. It's just like if you're walking along at dusk with your friend, and you experience the shape of the rope, the length, the shape, the diameter of the rope, the curves of the rope, but you don't experience the ropeness of it, so you've had an experience of the rope without the recognition of the rope, then you can project anything you want. We use snake because that's a scary thing. It's usually the first thing that comes, but it could be a streak of water, could be a stick, could be a crack in the earth. Anything that has that shape, which is similar to the shape of a snake, can gain the projection of the snake if you don't see the rope. If you don't see the rope at all, that's total ignorance. That's Swamiji's total ignorance is bliss. It doesn't cause any problems at all. Gets wipes out the whole creation. Just be with yourself and take a deep breath. You know, that's kind of the wonder of the deep sleep state. But if there's a partial error, the partial error here is I experience the thingness of it, but not the ropeness of it. Then I can make this mistake. It's the problem with the mind. It experiences me fully as me. Take away the entire infinite creation, we call it the self, which is Brahman. What is that experience? Me. Just me. It is no difference. With or without the creation, it makes no difference whatsoever. Like being the Ishwara of the imagination, you have the imagination. Who's having the imagination? Me. What happens from the imagination when you withdraw it? Nothing. What happens to me? Absolutely nothing. It's coming into manifestation, going out of manifestation. What manifestation? What happens to me? Absolutely nothing. Good. Okay. but for the ones in the imagination, you know, or in this creation, like our situation, the same self experience is there as when I gain knowledge. It's not going to be another me. It's the exact same me that has always been me. You just recognize that I am completely free. I am non-dual. And this whole creation depends upon me for its being. And nothing ever happens to me. The presence of the creation, the presence of the upadis, or their absence, make no difference whatsoever to the reality, to what is satyam, to myself. So what he says here, the Atma being one, having the avidya upadi, then that self, which is me, is called the jiva, because ajnanam, self-ignorance, is there. Then let's look at this one.
Mayopadihi
sanat meshwaraha
sanat meshwaraha
ityuchyate
ityuchyate.
So maya upadihi, breaking the sandhi, maya upadihi san atma ishwaraha atmeshwaraha iti uchyate. So here it says the atma having the maya upadi, having for its upadi maya, whole maya, that is called Ishwara. So the same self having the Ajnana Upadi, right, is called the Jiva. The same me from the having Ajnanam is called the Jiva. The same me, you know, having the whole Maya instead of the Ajnana Upadi, having the Maya Upadi, that is called Ishwara. Okay. Just a little thing here. There's really no difference between maya and ajnanam in the sense of what is projecting. So, but what we say is the same maya, okay, that projects in the form of this universe from the standpoint of the whole, so Brahman with the whole maya upadi, I'm talking about all the individual jivas within it, the whole maya upadi has no ajnanam. So we say maya itself has two capacities, avarna and vikshepa. These are important words. So maya has two capacities, avarna and vikshepa. Avarna means it has the capacity to cover. Vikshepa means it has the capacity to project. So these twofold capacities, avarana, covering, vikshepa, projecting. The avarana is really ajnanam, ignorance. So for those within the creation that are subject to ignorance, that is because of the maya, because of the limitations of the jiva upadi. There's ajnanam is built in there. You can't not have ignorance, right? If you have a body mind, if you have a body mind sense organs that is limited and experiencing your knowledge of the creation goes outward through the sense organs. You don't have a pramana that goes shoot, turns inward and says, ah, yes, this is myself, you know, this is myself differentiated from the body mind sense organs. That's an external pramana that we call the Upanishads, you know. And in other cultures, they may have something similar. But it has to be done for us in order to remove that covering that is natural to the condition of the upadis. So the other side of maya is what we call ajnanam. For Ishvara, the maya is just operates as an operation of the vikshepa, the projection. But because from that standpoint, myself, I am the whole. There is nothing that I am not. There is nothing covering. I'm not limited by any given upadi, you know. I know exactly what it is. It's very clear. You don't even need really words for it. That's why I was using this morning the example of the dream, you know, or the imagination. You have an imagination. You know it's an imagination. It's maya. It's just it's an imagination that you have, that imaginal capacity that we call maya. You have it in a limited form, or for Bhagavan, it's just the self plus maya, period. For you, it's the self that has a sukshma sharira. It's got a sukshma sharira. It's identified with this body, but still the same self. And Bhagavan gives you a little bit of what Ishvara has in total. And so you are the Ishvara of your imagination, which is a wonderful thing just to contemplate on, to see what that is like. Because the mityatva of the imagination is absolutely clear to you. You don't have imagination and go, oh my God, here we are. I've created this, and now how do I get out of it? You know, I had this power I didn't know I had. You know? And there's no way to retract it. We don't have that ignorance. We know what that imagination is. It comes from me, is sustained by me, resolves into me. There's no real identification with anything within the imagination. If there is an identification, it's a mitya identification. Unless there's a psychosis, I'm not going to get into all of that. So when the mind is working properly, the imaginal faculty, you know, is something that's in your power. You know, you can use it, and you are the Ishvara of that imagination. So here, maya upadihi Ishvara iti uchite. This one who has the whole maya upadi, there is no ajnanam, there's only vikshepa, the power of maya to project, right? So maya can project the whole creation. But now just think, when this creation is projected, all of the jivas are in that creation in one form or another, manifest maybe here in this bhuloka, or in other lokas, or in causal condition. But the jivas are as beginningless as is the creation. Now look at the condition, the jiva. Same self is part and parcel of Ishvara, you know, but your experience does not relate that to you. Your experience through your five sense organs and the limitations of this body is that you are an individual walking around in this world, having a separate consciousness from the rest of the world, and Ishvara, as known in the Vedic culture, you know, is limitless. Even though you're a part of Ishvara, but you're a part of Ishvara as a limited being within Ishvara's creation, and Ishvara is somebody that you pray to, and you know very clearly that you're different from Ishvara, right? And so that's the avarana. That's the natural, beginningless covering that is brought about by your condition, the condition of the jiva in the scheme of things. So now the same self, having the maya upadi, which has only the vikshepa, as opposed to the ajnana upadi, right, which is brought about by your condition, your beginningless condition, right? You, the Atma, you are either the Jiva, called the Jiva, or you are called Ishvara. Only from the standpoint of the Upadi, not from your own standpoint. From your own standpoint, you're just fine. You're just there as your own being. As you notice, if you do the imagination, it's very clear. I'm not doing anything. I simply am. I am the one for whom there is this capacity. Right? But myself, the bottom line, I simply am. Such it. So now, this is a nice little line here. Evam upadi bedat.
Evam upadi bedat.
Jiva eshwara beda.
Jiva eshwara beda.
Drishtihi.
Drishtihi.
Yavat pariyantam.
Yavat pariyantam.
Tishtati.
Tishtati.
Tavat pariyantam.
Tavat pariyantam.
Janma maranadi.
Janma maranadi.
Rupa samsaraha.
Rupa samsara
na nivartate.
Na nivartate.
So it says, evam, in this manner, upadi bedat, because of the difference in the upadis, the jiva upadi, the ishwara upadi, so because of, caused by the difference in the upadis, so in this manner, upadi bedat, jiva ishwara beda drishtihi, Yavat pariyantam tishtati. Yavat pariyantam, as long as. Take the two words together. As long as this is the condition, tishtati. What remains? What stands there untouched? As long as this is the condition, it says. The beta drishti, the vision of difference between the jiva and Ishwar. Beta means difference. Drishti means like the vision. The conclusion. So the beta drishti between the jiva and Ishwara, the recognition that the two of them are different because of the difference in the upadis. Right? That's why that conclusion is there. This is a limited upadi, Ishwara is a limitless. So because of that difference, this beta drishti will be there as long as that difference is there. And as long as that is there, tavat pariyantam, so as long as that ajnanam is there, tavat pariyantam, until then. Okay, so yavat, as long as this is the case, then tavat pariyantam, until then, janma maranadi rupa samsaraha na nivartante. Samsara doesn't go away. You can't get rid of it. As long as that conclusion is there, the samsara just remains intact. Okay? What is the samsara? Samsara? Janma maranadi rupa. Samsara, which is in the nature of birth and death and everything in between, you know, growing up, going through the puberty, you know, becoming an adult, getting old, getting aged, getting uncomfortable, shriveling up, and then finally dying. But while you're going through that whole process between birth and death, that adi also includes sukha dukkha. So the whole stretch of life between birth and death, and then all of the sukhas and dukkhas that come in between, that is samsara. So they say, says, you can't get rid of this as long as this beta is there, this difference is there between the jiva and Ishwara, brought about by the difference of the upadis, the conditioning adjuncts. As long as that remains in place, for so long, samsara will remain in place. Samsara cannot be eliminated. So Swamiji will joke around this. You can stand on your head, you can do pranayama, you can do, he lists everything. But you can stand on your head, do pranayama, do yoga 24 hours a day, eat, he just detests this one. You can be a macrobiotic. Mm-hmm. Eat grass. Eat grass, eat the brown rice, and eat all of these things, you know. You used to think it's all just total rubbish, silly, especially this macrobiotic stuff. Right? Eat grass. Eat the sprouts. Yeah. It won't help you. It won't help you because that beta drishti is there. It is brought about by the upadi. So even if you're really, really healthy and everything is fantastic and wonderful, you're still going to be stuck in samsara. On the other side of it, though, which later he started to really include, is that all of these things are so helpful. Yoga, pranayama, eating well, all of these things that we've, getting enough exercise, having the right amount of sleep, it is all necessary to take care of this upadhi in the best way that you can, so that your body and mind have a certain peace and shanti. And in fact, if you study these things like yoga and pranayama, and also balanced diet and not eating too much, it's all there in the Bhagavad Gita, actually, and meditative practice. All of that is there in the Bhagavad Gita, because it gives you the exercises, the meditation, the pranayama, all of these things give you shanti. They give you a deep sense of shanti. And so even when we think of yoga, and pranayama is considered in yoga, as part of yoga, when we think of these are sadhanas for antakarna shuddhi, giving the mind a sense of peace and well-being, the body, so that my mind can actually gain this knowledge. And so in the East, we don't consider all of the different hundreds of types of yoga that are out there now as kind of a sport or something, or as an exercise. You know, let's do yoga to have a beautiful body. Yoga does actually give a beautiful body, you know. Or let me do pranayama so that I can increase my level of intelligence, blah, 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 all samsara. That's not what they're for. I mean, those are there, but that's not why we're doing yoga. Yoga is actually a very spiritual practice, you know, and it brings out bringing all of the nadis into balance, you know, bringing the mind and the buddhi into balance, into absorption. It prepares your body, mind, sense organs for this knowledge. So you have to have dharma. Dharma's on the top, but the dharma is there, you know, for the antakarna shuddhi, and these things are extraordinary. So just to tell you. But both sides. One side is so beautifully powerful, and the other side is misleading. If you think that prana or yoga or macrobiotics, and this is Swamiji's point, will give you moksha. No. It'll give you the strength and the balance and the shanti that this body, mind, sense organs, needs in order to gain moksha. And it's not they're prakriyas for gaining that strength which allows for this knowledge to take place. And there's other things you can do also. There's other types of things you can do also. But these are there in our tradition, and that's what they're for, and they're very... Okay, we have to do this real fast. Tasmat karanat.
Tasmat karanat.
Najiveshwarayoho.
Najiveshwarayoho.
Veda buddhihi.
Veda buddhihi.
Svikarya.
Svikarya.
So therefore now the writer of the Tathagata gives some advice. The Tasmat karanat, okay? Because of this reason, for this reason, na jiveshwarayoho bheda buddhihi svikarya. Therefore, this conclusion that there is a difference, a separation between the jiva and ishwara, you should not svikarya. This buddhi, this conclusion, one should not accept this. Don't take this as true. It's not in your best interests, because as long as this is there, there is samsara. As long as this kind of buddhi is there, there is samsara. So please don't accept this as being something which is true. It is not true. Oh, that's it. Good.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
Nice day off.
so the only visit will not happen this weekend, but next Friday.